Thanks for joining us on the Church of the Lakes podcast, where we inspire life, share life, and give life. Want to learn more about us? Check us out online at cotlakes.com. We'd love to connect with you. Now, let's go to the message.
Okay, we are headlong into week three now of a new series we're doing called The Beautiful Way. And the idea behind The Beautiful Way is this teaching that Jesus did. Okay, and let me go ahead and jump in and kind of set the scene here. Matthew 5, verse 1, it says this. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now that's where we started with week one. So Jesus is teaching probably what most people consider the greatest sermon ever taught, right? That's what's going on here. Is sits all these people down and he starts speaking to them. And one of the first things out of his mouth are, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I won't review the whole thing because you can go back and watch week one. But basically, people who are poor in spirit, they may be rich in the world, but they recognize that spiritually they have nothing without Jesus. Right? And oftentimes when we have a lot in this world, it hides that reality. But people who are, let me say it this way, poor in spirit have a tendency to be rich in grace. So we talked about that week one. He goes on and he says this, second, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." You know, people who are poor in spirit, they recognize their absolute need for God. They recognize that they're poor in spirit, which leads to mourning. Why? Well, it is my sin, and it's the sin of the rest of this world that leads to all kinds of evil in this world. And tough situation that's hard to understand, but the promise is that they will be comforted in that, right? So we're now moving on to the third statement that he makes in the Beatitudes, and here it is. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." This might be one of the most radical statements that Jesus has ever spoken. The meek will inherit the earth. Process that with me for a moment. Really? Like, the meek will inherit the earth? When was the last time you read a leadership book and it said, "Want to get ahead? Be more meek"? Never. Not once. Not ever, right? One would think that meek people get nowhere. Honestly, because everybody ignores them, right? Or rides roughshod over them and tramples them underfoot. It is the tough, the overbearing who succeed in the struggle for existence, right? Weaklings go to the wall. Weaklings get pushed aside. I think that's the reason that we would push back at this particular beatitude, right? "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Wow, that sounds a little upside down. Well, that sounds crazy to us. And that's really what the Beatitudes are. The Beatitudes are Jesus sitting people down and saying, "Listen to me. You are sinful people that live in a sinful world. And so your way of looking at things has been twisted. I'm going to teach you some concepts that are going to be kind of upside down. It's going to be almost revolutionary. It's going to seem so crazy. But this is actually what the kingdom of God looks like, right? And I think we would push back on this one because we equate meekness with weakness, right? But can I say this? Listen to me, very important. Meekness is not the same as weakness. Let me show you what I mean. Let's define weakness. Weakness is the state or the condition of lacking strength. It's the state or condition of lacking. So if I'm weak, I do not have the strength, I do not have the ability to do what needs to be done. Now, meekness has a completely different definition. Matter of fact, it's almost opposing, but meekness is strength under control. In other words, it's not that you lack the ability, it's that it's controlled. It's not that you lack the strength to do something. Let me say it this way. How many of you know that there are things that you could do, but you shouldn't do? Come on. Hey, guys, you could wear a Speedo to the beach. I'm going to go with you probably shouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because unless you are an Olympic swimmer, You ain't got the bod for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let me just call it what it is, okay? You could cut your own hair. Probably not something you should do, right? Now, some of us have done that. Anybody else like me? I did that one time. I remember as a kid, I did the whole boop across the bangs thing, and then they had to cut my bangs. Like, yeah, right? You could wear certain things to Walmart. Hello? Probably not something a lot of people should do. Do you know what I'm getting at? You can get angry. You can let your anger blow all over somebody, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily something you do. You have the power to hold on to unforgiveness. But it's probably not something you should do. You might have the power in your position at work to tell people what to do, to manipulate situations and all, but probably not something you could do. Meekness is strength under control. We live in a world that is pushing you to use your power to make more money, build your own brand, right? Get your 15 minutes of fame. Leave a legacy for yourself. And the powerful of this world use that power to get their way, negotiating things in their favor. Speak your mind. Find your voice. And we are encouraged to do these things regardless of how it affects anybody else. Hey, you just be you. It is in that context that Jesus says, the meek will inherit the earth. What is he talking about here? What does that actually mean? What does that look like? So let me give you a bit of an illustration. I've got this picture here of this horse. Look at that horse. Isn't that awesome looking? Like just powerful and kind of majestic and awesome. And you know, most of us would look at something like this. And this is the message of the world. The message of the world says, just be you. Go do your thing, right? Be powerful. Be empowered. That's a big word we like to use these days. We want to make sure people are empowered, right? But you've got to be kind of careful with that because can I say this to you? No wild horse has ever won a race. Ever thought about that? No wild horse has ever won a ribbon. No wild horse has really ever won anything. What does it take for that horse to win something? It takes training and it takes a bridle. It takes a bit in the mouth to get that horse to do what it should do so that maybe you could see something like this, right? This picture, this is meekness. It's just as powerful as the other horse, has just as much strength, but here's what's happened. He has submitted his power and his strength to a master's hand. That's what meekness is. Meekness is that you and I, although we may have power and ability to do all kinds of things, we are bridled. We have a bit put in our mouth, in a sense, if you will, the illustration. We become the work of God because we submit ourselves to Him and doing things the way He created us to do them. This horse wins a ribbon. Right? This horse accomplishes some things that are far beyond what it could have ever accomplished if meekness had not been introduced to this horse. There are millions of things that we could do, but we shouldn't do because it doesn't fit God's purposes for our life. Meekness is the powerful using their power or influence, catch this, only as directed by God. Meekness is using power and influence only as directed by God, not for selfish gain, not to advance the quality of my life, not so I can control or manipulate. Meekness is power directed by God for kingdom purpose. Meekness, strength under control. Okay, so meekness is strength under control. How in the world do I develop that in my life? Right? What does that actually look like? Well, let's start with what Jesus has already told us here in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Recognize in that I've got nothing without Jesus, right? This horse had to go through a process of being broken. And many of us have had to go through that process. We've had to go through some trials in life and a breaking. Why? To get to the point where we realized I don't have the power. I don't have the strength by myself. I need Jesus. That's what it means to be poor in spirit, is that you recognize I got nothing in the spiritual without him. All the money in the world won't get me what I need. All the cool vacations and experiences and spa days won't actually bring me the peace that I need. Only Jesus can do that. Right? Then it goes on after, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Why would they mourn? Well, I mourn because of the sin in my life. Right? I recognize that I'm nothing without Jesus because of the sin in my life. And this inspires me to love and to serve others who are going through the same experience. How do I do that? With meekness. Right? You can see the progression of what Jesus is trying to teach us here in framing our mindset as followers of Christ. I surrender and I submit my life to the direction of the Holy Spirit so that I can serve the Creator's purpose for my life. So that's kind of the concept. Now here's what I want to do is finish up today by giving you some practicality. What is the practical way for you to begin to develop meekness? What are things that you can do to develop this reality? Because we all have got to come to a place of, I really would rather find myself here and win the race, right? There's not a person, I don't think, in the world that gets up in the morning and goes, man, I can't wait to do life lousy today, right? Can't wait to blow it today. Man, sure do hope I get divorced today. I mean, nobody does that, and yet there are millions of people that are having those experiences as we speak. Why? Well, because the Creator of the universe created you in a certain way to live with a certain purpose. What does it take for me to live out that purpose? Meekness. That I come to this place of understanding my need for Him, and that I let Him now take the reins of my life. I let Him take control, right, of all that I do. But I can play a role in that. What would that look like? Well, let's try this. Number one. You can develop meekness by empowering others. By empowering others. I can use my talents, resources, influence to advance my life. Just because I can doesn't mean I should, right? But meekness is using these things to empower other people. God does not want you to be weak. That's not what this means. That's not what this says. He wants you to be strong, powerful, and fruitful. He just wants it to be for the serving of other people. Let me show you what I mean. Matthew 20, 25, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he gives this exact concept. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, right? And their great ones exercise authority over them. In other words, you ever seen a boss like that? You ever had a boss that was just like overbearing, looking over your shoulder constantly? Maybe they were a micromanager type of person. You know, that's, and he says, look, that's what this world looks like. That's what this world calls leadership. That's the way leaders do things in this world. They're overbearing. Look at the next words. It shall not be so among you. What's he talking about here? Meekness. Catch this. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus used his influence, his divine capabilities. He was God, his power, and ultimately his life to rescue other people, to empower other people to live who they are created to be. And then he empowers us with the Holy Spirit so that we can do the same. Number two, how do we develop this concept of meekness? Well, we're going to have to think before we speak. How many of you are bad about that one like I am? How many of you have eaten a few of your shoes because you put your foot just straight up down your throat in your mouth saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, right? Can I say this to you? Listen, the number one way, I think, to revolutionize your relationship, your relationships, is to speak carefully, right? Is to be very careful. So let me give you a little acronym. You've probably seen this before, but think before you speak. T, here's a question you should ask yourself before you speak. Is it true? Is it true? Every single one of us has been guilty of hearing one little part of a story and then turning around and telling this new narrative, right? Or hearing a story from somebody and it wasn't true from in the first place, and we repeated it like it was the gospel, right? Is what I'm saying true? H, is it helpful? Is what I'm saying going to be helpful to this person? Or am I doing this because I'm gossiping? Am I doing this because I'm actually giving them a backhanded compliment? You ever done that whole backhanded compliment thing? Come on. Is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? That doesn't mean does it inspire them to punch you, right? Or inspire them to do something negative. It means does it inspire them in a positive way? Does it inspire them to do something more with who God created them to be? In, is it necessary? Boy, that's one that I think I need to listen to more often. Is it really necessary to talk about this right now? Is it really necessary to say this right now? Sometimes those of us who think out loud, we talk before we think, and was it really necessary? Was this the right timing? It's a good question to ask ourselves. And the last one is really, really important. K, is it kind? Is it kind? Is what I'm saying kind in the process? There's a verse in Colossians 3 and 19, and it speaks to us husbands. And it says this, husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. You can get loud. You can use harsh words. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right? Number three, if we're going to work on developing this concept of meekness so we can be better followers of Jesus. Number three is we're going to learn to diffuse conflict. To diffuse conflict. You can post that opinion that stirs the pot. But just because you can... I'll let you finish the sentence that we've said 14 times today, right? Doesn't necessarily mean you should. Let me show it to you. Proverbs 15 and 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Man, before you hit return and post that, before you make that particular comment, before you make that phone call, am I stirring the pot or am I a healer? Blessed are the peacemakers is something we're going to see in a few weeks as well that goes right along with this. Don't add fuel to the fire. Don't return volley, right? Don't respond in kind. Respond kindly. Okay? If you allow your emotions to be unbridled, since we're using the horse illustration today, if you allow your emotions to be unbridled, you will only add to the problems of this world. That's why meekness is so important. I need, you know, Carrie sang it for us. Jesus, take the wheel, right? It's kind of the concept here, right? I need to come to a place where His Holy Spirit grabs the reins of my life and takes control and puts a bit in my mouth, right? Where the Holy Spirit goes, whoa, 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 don't say that right now, right? And that's, how many of you know that's hard, right? That's hard. But, listen to me, not if you review what Jesus has taught us so far that we've walked through this series. Not if you start with poor in spirit. I'm poor in spirit. Without Jesus, without you, Jesus, I lack everything. So I submit to you today. And if you do that, and then blessed are those who mourn, you're mourning over the sin of this world and your own sin, you're less likely to throw stones. I posted something this week on social media that I liked, and it was this. It's really hard to throw stones when you're washing feet. You know, and that's what this is. I think that's what meekness is about. Not answering or volleying back at somebody. Sometimes in our head, I think the enemy loves to whisper, "That's weak. You better take control. You better win here." But can I encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit who might be whispering to you, "No, you have all the power. You can." But meekness is what is necessary here. Meekness, power under control. Right? The meek person is in control in chaos. Because they're not controlled by the chaos. Number four, if we're working on this concept of meekness, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. How do you develop meekness? Well, you expect the best. You expect the best. I'll tell you something maybe you haven't thought of. Maybe you don't know this. People are crazy. Anybody? Come on. People can really stink. Anybody? Yes. But very few people, listen, this is important. Very few people wake up planning your demise. Right? That lady in the left lane did not get up going, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to just irritate the heck out of everybody by driving 35 in the left lane of the 55 mile an hour road today. She did it. But we're behind her going, right? Losing our minds in the or doing the whole, you ever do the no sound talk? You know what I'm talking about. Yes. I know I'm a little crazy, but people are crazy. People are, but listen to me. Nobody wakes up planning your demise. Feels like they do, but they don't. They just have a different perspective that if you would take the time to listen to, you might actually find that they actually meant well. If you say something weird and radical to you, hey, Democrats, the Republicans mean well. Hey, Republicans, the Democrats, they mean well. Now, you might go, yeah, whatever. But if you sat down and listened to why they're doing what they're doing, they have some sort of rationale. You might disagree with it. I hear you on that. But the reality is we're not listening to people enough. We're not sitting down and saying, you know what? People don't wake up going, I can't wait to blow up the world today. They don't. They get up and they do what they think is the right thing. Now, sometimes we need to help them reevaluate their thinking. I get that. But if we would learn to kind of expect the best, look at Proverbs 17 and 9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense. What does that say? That says, as followers of Jesus, we are ones that don't look for ways to plaster them because of their offense. We actually would look for ways to give them grace in the process. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends, talking about it over and over again, or gossiping. Oh my gosh, did you hear about this, right? Truth, listen to this. Truth is meant to set people free, but we often use it to hold people down. Let me say that again, because I want that really to set into your mind. Truth is meant to set people free. That's what the scripture tells us. But we often use it to hold people down. Well, this is truth, so there in your face. Hey, can I say it this way? Just because you're right doesn't mean you should, right? How else do we develop meekness? And I'll end with this one. Number five is, we've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. Being a meek or gentle person is an inside job. It's an inside job. It's me here. It's me going, we're sinners. I'm a sinner. I'm not naturally meek, but I'm really bent on getting my way. That's what I do. And I need a transformation to happen inside of me so that my sinful heart is bridled by God's amazing grace. So that my mission becomes His mission. He is God. He is omniscient. He has all things figured out. He knows all things. And guess what? He's just. In the end, when we get to meet Him, when we get to see Him face to face, we're going to be okay with every decision He made. We look at our world today and there's total chaos. I mean, what is going on, and the gas prices, and for those of you who live in Leesburg, you know, electricity just went up and everybody's rah, rah, rah. Now, I mean, there's all this chaos. But God has got it all under control. And I felt like I should end it this way. I'm doing a study right now with some young men as a small group that we're doing. And we were reading Job. And I thought, you know, as a way for us to reframe our mind today, As a way for us to push in this concept of meekness, power under control. There are things I could do, but I probably shouldn't do. Why? Because it's not what God would have me do. You know, with all the questions that we have for God, Job did that. He questioned, why, God, am I going through these things? And I'm going to read you an entire chapter of the Bible right now, because it is so powerful to reframe our mind in the concept of meekness. Job 38 reads like this. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Wow, just that one. Like, that's Mike all day. How many times, why am I going through this, God? Why am I? And I'm whining and carrying on. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, God says, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. Who determines its dimensions and stretched out the surveying lines? What supports its foundations? What holds the world up? And who laid its cornerstone as the morning star sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it bursts from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. When the wave crashes, it only crashes and stops at the beach because he makes it stop at the beach, right? That's, wow. I said, this far and no further will you come. Here, your proud waves must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear? and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like a clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you explored the springs from which the sea come? Have you explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does light come from? And where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course, you know all this, right? For you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. Is anybody feeling as small as I'm feeling at the moment, right? This is meekness. This is God's word working on a heart that is stubborn, that is like that wild horse, right? But that needs to be bridled in the process. Have you visited the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail? I have reserved them as weapons for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Where is the path to the source of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Who created a channel for the torrents of rain? Who laid out the paths for the lightning? Who makes the rain fall on the barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father? Who gives birth to the dew? Who is the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from heaven? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock and the surface of the water freezes. Can you direct the movement of the stars? Binding the cluster of Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear with their cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct? Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind? Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven when the parched ground is dry and the soul has hardened into clods? Can you stalk prey for a lioness and satisfy the young lion's appetites as they lie in the den or crouch in the thicket? Who provides food for the ravens when the young cry out to God and wander about in hunger? And it goes on. It goes on into chapter 39. As God reminds us of our place. As God reminds us of His immensity. Of His omniscience. Of Him being all powerful. Meekness. The meek will inherit the earth. What does that look like? When we, as sinful beings, we'll let the grace of God bridle our hearts. Let Him direct our ways. Then we will receive the inheritance that He has designed for us to receive, which is the people who are lost, that we are here to rescue and serve and love. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. It is strength at the hand of the Master, used in a way that we were to fulfill what God has created us to be. Let me pray for you today in that. God, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we could do. There's a lot of things that we have power to do. But we choose to surrender our hearts to you. We choose to surrender our lives. We choose to walk in meekness. That you and your amazing grace would bridle our hearts and direct our paths. That we might, as this Beatitude promises, inherit this earth. We might win the battle that you have sent us to win. Overcome the world the way you have designed us to overcome it. And rescue the lost that you've sent here for us to be a part of saving for your glory and for your kingdom. And so God, we humble ourselves today to the place of meekness. Thank you for reminding us today of our place, and we repent from a heart that would try to be under control and take control. Holy Spirit, take control of our lives and guide us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May I love you guys, and man, let God spend a little time working on this. It's a hard one because it's going to push a little against that sinful nature. But if you will surrender, it promises you will inherit the earth. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. We would love to help you on your next steps. Please visit cotlakes.com. Join us weekly as we continue to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in our community.